Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May hope.
Good morning. You know, we were up early this morning, but Cheryl was in her bed sleeping last night, and I was out in the garden, because we have 8 planets all in a line. And they were saying, if you look up, you can see it. And I looked up and I waited for the outside light to go off. And then I'm standing here with my pyjamas, freezing. And then there's a lamppost, and I thought, I'm not walking away up here. Everybody will think I've lost the marbles. So I'm looking up and looking up. And then I thought, you know, Lord, I can't see it. But your hand over our universe, even these planets coming together in a line and getting like a high and a low, it's amazing the work the universe is in. And it also shows us how small we are in these universes. So I was disappointed, but I knew that I was reading and that I was being told was happening on the 28th, which was yesterday. Isn't God amazing? And if he can line all that up over all the different universes and different sizes of planets, what can he line up in our lives? What can he line up that needs to be put in a place that's right with him? Nothing is impossible when you look at the nature of what God has blessed us with. And we've all been moaning about the weather. It's wet, it's wet, it's wet, it's wet. And it was too wet to do too much work in the garden, but we made a start. And then it kept raining, so we pinned to the kitchen in the living room. There's always something to do. And when you look at the different planets getting lined up like that over so many years and on, God has always got something to do, and he's always got something to do for you and me. I don't care about you, but that's a hallelujah for me. Because that's how valuable we are in the eyes of our loving God. And then, it gets a bit difficult now. I know you're an optician, but I went to the opticians. And they give me my eye test, they give me the diabetes test, the DR, the different things to check, the eyes and that. And he says, Eddie, you've got a cataract coming in. And I says, he's a Christian, a bit like yourself, a Christian optician. And he never said a word. He gave it a couple of minutes. And he said, Eddie, you ever looked in the mirror? Ken, you're not a spring chicken anymore, basically. You're getting older. So I've written things down because when I read, I forget where I am. It's not that I've got a thing, but it's just an age thing. Okay? But looking at the weaknesses in the resurrection of life, when I was looking at this, me and Cheryl done a thing over the last year studying Proverbs. It took us a year, and we're just kind of well into the last chapter. We're on the last half chapter of Proverbs. That a wife is more valuable than a ruby ring or a diamond ring that you got in your hand. And it's important for us to get into the Word. And when I was reading this, and when I was looking at the sky last night, I realised how weak we are. We're vessels. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. And if we look at the word ministry, we have this calling. We have a calling. That's what the ministry stands for. We have a calling. God's called us to be a servant for him, to serve his word. And you know, our life's to be the manifestation of the gospel. That's what our lives are meant to be. A manifestation of the truth. It's not about us, it's about him. We do not tamper with the word of God. We do not tune into, we have to tune into the word of God. And you know, we do not lose heart. When you're in the ministry, when you're in the calling, every one of us, it's not just the guy that stands up here and preaches to you every Sunday and leads you in a Bible study. Every one of us has a calling. Every one of us is in a ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that amen? We're all here to serve the good news of the love of Jesus. And sometimes there's so much things going on around us that you feel, oh, that's a hard day, that's been a tough day, that's a scenario, I can't handle that. There's things going on and back and forth to try and rob us of the blessing that God's got for us. And we struggle at times with certain things because I remember a young chappy, I don't think I've shared this with you, and he was one of the times when I first started going out sharing the gospel. His name was Alfie. And I went to and started witnessing to Alfie. And then his sister says, Eddie, you can't cope with the gospel, can you? You just give him a wee breather. And I didn't realise, but then it was a depression that Alfie was going through. This depression isn't just up to date. This depression was about 40 years ago. And I left Alfie for a couple of days. And then I got taken into the office and told, I've got sad news for you. Alfie went into a park and took his life. And ever since that day, I thought, Lord, I will never lose the value of your truth. Because it's only your truth that gives us a hope that can face tomorrow. And I struggled with that because I thought, I gave in. I stepped back. He was there, he was sharing his feelings, his emotions. But because there was a mental depression, He wasn't sure if it was reality and if it wasn't. And I thought, I should have served a bit more with you. I should have spent more time with you. And that was a hard one. And we do go through times of a loss and things, and folk move on, and we find it difficult. But we do not lose heart. And when we think of how do we lose heart, and we think of what Jesus did on a cross, we think of the pain that he went through for every human being, never mind taking all these 8 planets and lining them up. But he lined his son on the cross to go through the hardships so that we could be forgiven. What a love. Even when he gave us the freedom of choice, when he created us in the Garden of Eden, when the sin was done, he still had it planned that in that time, his son has got to come into this universe, into the earth, and he's going to be the cup that sacrifices everything to fulfill our life with the forgiveness through the grace of our Heavenly Father. He says, I am worked out. He's got your building worked out. He's got everything built out. Even when I say to Cheryl, I've got some gel today, any super glue, I'll put it in so I can keep my hair. Even God's got it worked out when I'm going to go bald or not go bald. What's the point of worrying about tomorrow? Because when the hard times come in, we do not lose heart because we draw closer to the Word of God. We draw closer to His Word. We focus on it. We maintain and read it and bring it to our heart. We meditate. We get our attitudes in that beautiful place to let God shape our hearts to be more like Jesus. And sometimes I feel, what a failure. Because sometimes I can see the mess I'm in. And when I was studying the book of Proverbs and Solomon's wisdom and knowledge and this and that, and the more you get in, the more you look, the more you think, the more filthy you feel, because you're seeing that you are getting closer to the Holy of Holies. And the doubt in your life comes up and you can say, well, that's a problem. I've got a weakness, I've got this, I've got that. It's because you're getting closer to the light. And we can see the mess in our lives. But good news is God's seen that before he put Jesus on the cross to take our place so that we could focus on his cup. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We've come to that place where we've repented. We come to that place where we realise that the things in our life has been sinful. The things in our life is twisted and corrupted our heart. It's corrupted the flesh because it's became part of us because the Holy of Holies was missing from us. And we ask him into our life and we repent for the mess that we made our life in so that he can fulfill our lives and change it and transform it to make us better. See, when we look in the mirror, we see the real you, don't we? But when God looks in the heart, he says, that's the real you there, but I've got to get you to there. Are you with me? It's a transformation. He puts a lot of effort. I mean, I've been digging out a garden, ripping out trees and different things. And when I want to rip up a deck and it looks bony, but it looks bony because the paint was on it last year. But when you walk on it, it sinks because there's a lot of rotten bits in the wood. It's done it about 9 years, I think. And that's coming up. And you know, when you get to that place of comfort and you come to that place that you feel, wow, that's not bad and it looks good. But your heart tells you, it's rotten. Cheryl going out with the washing one day, put her foot in the wood and boof, she can break an ankle. It needs to come out. It's not covering up the things of my life. It's bawling the heart and saying, Lord, this is really me. I ain't perfect. I never will be perfect. until I go to glory. You've already provided that for me. So repentance, secret and shameful ways, we do not use deception. We don't twist the word, we don't play with the word. Nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we command to everyone's conscience. And I stepped back to Alfie. I knew the word was great, and I knew there was something happening. I seen his eyes lighting up when I told him he was loved and he cared. I knew the changes in his face was godly. I knew it was the spiritual side of God. But I stepped back and listened to the worldly information for his sister. And the guy just thought, I've had enough. I can't take any more of the world. I'm throwing it away. And he hung himself on a tree. He could have came to the place of repentance and knowing that Jesus Christ was hung on a tree to take his place. If he got onto that tree that he gave the worldly tree. And that's how important that we have to give the truth. And it's something that's getting very hard at the moment is to bring the good news into our communities and streets and stuff like that. Because we are told we're offending people. Well, if the word of God doesn't offend you, then you're not preaching the gospel. You with me? Because it's the truth in chapter 8. John chapter 8, it tells you it's the truth. It sets you free. Nothing else. And if you reject the truth, then you're accepting the lie to control your life. And when you realise all the things that you're going through, it's because your henna took a hold of the truth. That I can deal with this, I can lift you, I can change you, I can give you some hope for tomorrow. I can give you a life that's worth hanging on to. And that's why it's so important we give the truth out there, because the truth is the thing that we need in our lives. And affecting people's conscience. If it wasn't for somebody telling me how much Jesus loves me, and if it wasn't for somebody knocking at a door on a Friday night at 6 o'clock and coming in for I was in darkness, and if it wasn't coming in knowing by his faith that God sees the goodness in this character behind this door, and then he unloaded the gospel and told me how much I was loved, my conscience couldn't get ahead of it. Because all I knew was rejection. And if we reject the truth, then we are opening our lives up to rejection. Because lies is a deception. It controls our lives away from the glory of God and fit the fullness of Christ has got for us. And then our value systems transform and change and everything happens. And then we wonder why, because we're doing it in our strength. Rather than coming to that place and saying, Lord, I am weak. Lord, I cannot do anymore. And that's where I was on that Friday night. I cannot do this. This is impossible. But in my God, through the love this person shared me, I met his son 1987 Friday night. I asked him into this darkness. And love came in. For the first time at 29, I felt love because my conscience couldn't accept what was going on. But my heart was saying, I need to be loved. But the brain was saying, we don't let folk close to you, keep folk away. But my conscience couldn't get ruined. And I am so grateful that my heart responded to the gospel. Because you didn't open your heart, then you didn't find the fullness of grace that gave on the cross for each and every one of us. Does that make sense? It has to be the heart. So when I heard it up here, it had to drop 14 inches to reach here. And when it reached here, it had to come back up 12 inches to come out here. And I had to repent for my actions in life. And then I started to feel and know the grace. The light was shining in the darkness. of my rejection. And then the God of the Pharaoh, and even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, Paul is speaking about the Jews here, the old covenant. Because Paul got converted, he was converted into the new covenant because of what Jesus did on the cross. And his meeting with Christ on the road was the New Testament. And the false preachers and all this that was going on at the time was Old Testament. But Paul was into the New Testament, and he wrote this letter to try and encourage Corinthians that there's a false teacher, they're trying to do this, but I'm writing to tell you there's a new covenant that Jesus Christ gave it, and it's 100%, it's the truth. And we need to get a grasp of the truth. And a lot of the Jews today don't understand that truth of the cross. And when you hear about the Americans and Israel fighting last night, we've got to keep our eyes on Israel and watch to see when the Jews actually start giving their lives to Jesus. Because the rumours of wars, it's gone on and on and on, and other flooding that we've seen that I've never seen before. The depth of water and flooding and all the things that's gone on tells us that we're getting closer to that place where God's lighting up heaven for the rapture. For those that's given their life to him. We are in a place now, and we need to be wise and watch Israel by faith, not by fear. Don't worry about nuclear bombs. We watch because God's prophecy is they will return and they will find salvation. They will get the veil of their heart open, because what happened on the cross, Jesus Christ went on a cross and God to heaven took the first veil and he ripped it. So the Holy of Holies could come into the planet Earth, into our society, into our community, into our worlds, into the homes of our families. God has ripped it. And the veil that Paul's speaking about here is the veil in the heart. Unbelief. They've read all the prophecies of Christ and the cross, and they've read it all, but they still hid the veil of unbelief. And they believe in, and a lot of them still waiting for him to return. And when he takes away that veil in our hearts, it's when we come to that place and say, I've had enough of the table. I've had enough living in this society, of this world, of this mess. I've had enough. Lord, I'm coming to the cross. I'm coming to your table. I need some of you in my life to maintain my life. For the greatness of your glory. And wow, the veil when you repent and confess and tell Christ what we have done in this secret things and the shameful things, guess what happens? Light takes ownership of our life. And we don't walk in darkness anymore. Let me share this with you. This is in Isaiah. And it's Isaiah chapter 55 and it's verse 10. And I want you to listen to this. Because this was touching my heart last night, thinking of the planets. That we could actually see them if we had the right telescopes and stuff. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth. Now it's got a purpose to water the earth. It's making the buds and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower for bread. It's to provide for us. It's to provide the food, the harvest, the farmers, the water, and everything's got a reason. It doesn't go back up. It stays on the ground. And I was saying to Cheryl, I'm not laying any grass seed till later on in March. Because with all the cold and the wet weather, I'm waiting for the soil to heat. And then I'm going to put my grass seed down. And then I'm going to put a thin covering over the top of my grass seed. Because the birds will be hungry at this time of year. So they want to nick my seed. But it doesn't stop there. He's provided for us. He provides our needs, food, everything. And he gives us water. And if you look at the news in England and where the water's gone back into and the illnesses and rivers and that, wow. God gave us water. And we need water to live on. And we need God's life to live in us. And then it says in verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty. God's word, when we speak to somebody's conscience, when we share the truth of what God gave us and what God has done for us and what Jesus Christ did, it's taken away the unbeliefs in people's conscience. And it opens up the veil. It opens up a corner of the veil in the heart and it says this is the truth. The benefit of life is in Christ. And the hope for tomorrow is in Christ. Everything's in Christ. And when we start looking at the chessboard and seeing the movement, we start seeing the black ones getting taken. And we start seeing the white ones advancing. And our value system is transformed and changing into the greatness. And we start seeing the board that God gave us. He's given us, each and every one of us has got a board. And on that board is our house, family, friends, work, ministry, Bible study, coffee, it's all there. But what a difference when we play it in Christ. When we take it into that place that God controls us, because he's not just a saviour, he's Lord of our life. And he's not just Lord of our life, he's the light of the world that lives in us. The biggest person in the whole universe that created it lives in us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he says, as he goes into John, he starts speaking about the light of the world. He starts explaining, if you knew me, you would know my Father. See, when John 3:16 came up, I want you to hear this. When John 3:16 came on the table, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish. And Jesus is saying, but if you knew me, you would know my Father. He's standing up saying, John 3:16, that God is in me. I am God. If you knew me, then you would know that I, my Father, became the sacrifice. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together became one. And he's backing up John 3:16, that the human body was empowered through the Holy Spirit with the spiritual body, which was God. It took the cross to pay the price for you and for me. Why? Why would somebody do that? Because it's somebody that sees the creation in each and every one of us. Because each one of us is made in God's image. Each one of us, a part of our life, is created in the image of God. Do you understand that? You have got the image of God in you. Not just made faith. Genesis, by dust, we go back to dust, but the spirit, the soul lives on. Because of the work of the Trinity, that God loves us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a ministry to come together to work. And it's not only for salvation. The word, I want you to hear this morning, because this is so important. The word of God doesn't just bring salvation into our lives. The word of God brings healing. The word of God changes the pain in our lives and brings in comfort and peace. It gives us the ability in our weakness that something beautiful comes out of the mud and clay that we are creating. We are so weak vessels, easy broken, so vulnerable. We go through so much in life. And we stand back and we hold back and we, then I get too close, stay away from me, I'm not letting you in, I don't trust, I can't cope. And all that stops the move of God. His word wants to get through all the barriers, all the fronts, so that we can find the grace that brings the inner healing to make us more whole. He doesn't want to save us and leave us in the clay, in a mess. He wants the clay to sparkle and shine with a beautiful treasure. Wow. I don't care about you, but that blows me. When I'm reading this, that blows me. How precious we are. I wasn't got a D, and I was trying it out. I spoke to Cheryl, but she never gave me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, yes. But you know, when we read the word, I've got to try and show you. Sometimes it's by seeing something. But when you read the word, and in the word was the beginning, and the beginning was in the word, and it's Christ. He was there right at the beginning. And he, you see the little wee three lights, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The physical side is responding. I'm seeing something God is saying in his word. It's a promise for me. And a lot of us take Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, to give you hope, a purpose, and a future. And we're hot. Oh, it goes on. There's a love thing happening here. As I'm reading the love of God for me, my heart is responding to the love of Jesus. The conscience is getting taken out the door. And my heart's coming into a place that's saying, I need this. I need this. Look at it. The word of God is becoming alive. It's a living word. It's a word that when we read it, and we read it, and we read it, you know, it never stops shining. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's to mark our world alive for each and every one of our situations. He wants to make us sparkle. Why? Because go back to the word ministry. To go back to the calling. Every time we see somebody on their own, it kind of cope, they're lonely, they're not doing this. When we see neighbours with situations, we get an inspiration that they need some of this. Because we realise it's not a blank page I come under. It's not a blank word I come under. It's a living word. It rose from the grave and it's here today to fulfil our lives and to make us a better person in tune with the living God. But it's this choice. It's this choice. And then, I'll leave it on for you. But you know, it's a choice. And it's in Timothy chapter 6. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness. When we started doing Proverbs, people were saying to Cheryl, you need to go up and share something on a Sunday morning for the Bible study. What you're putting on the table is amazing. And Cheryl was like, oh, I do think that's my calling. And we're all sitting here seeing the word coming out. And I'm like, I'd have put a lot of study in this week. She's been doing it. And when we meet up with other people in the study, we're one that just pursuing the righteousness. We were pursuing the wisdom of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to spend a whole year in Proverbs and not be affected with the knowledge of God. Wow, I seen my wife growing and growing every Thursday. We didn't share Bibles. We didn't look at each other's notes. And we had a different word, but the same word, the same word. But a different point of view. And the next person had the same and the same. And it's sitting down with your Bible, doing a Bible study. It brought it alive in our lives. And where I want to finish it, I think it's over a year actually. Where I want to finish it, we're on that second chapter in 31, where the ruby is more valuable than a wife. You with me? So we've got to pursue righteousness. How do you pursue righteousness? It's confessing, Lord, I've got one foot in the world and I've got one foot in the glory. But I'm still jumping back and forth. I hadn't totally jumped in. I'd seeking righteousness. I still worldly things in my life. It's got a hold over me. I want to give that to you. And I want to be that chains broken so that I can come in with my 2 feet and my 2 hands and lift you up for the purity that you've given me in my heart with a grateful heart for what you've done. And it's confessing the shame and the filth that was in 2 Corinthians and getting them on the table and allowing God to bring in that sparkle. They're telling me the battery's running out. Made in China. But it's to get that sparkle in my mind. I want to share that. I want to develop that. I want to hear that. I want to know more of this. And then it's like, you're sitting in the house, you're watching John Wayne. I love John Wayne. Are you watching another movie? Have you done your Bible study? Oh, I'll do it later on. The hunger that Cheryl had to get more and more and more wisdom to the Word. Wasn't it just, whoa, she had a hunger. I want to get to know more of this. Because this is doing something in my life. And sometimes you can see the changes in your life. Sometimes you can see what God is doing. And sometimes you haven't got a clue. Because you're looking at a Bible. And God's a word doing here, looking at this and looking at that. And all this other things come in and fit in. And the new people will be coming in. He's already got all that in his hand. And we are looking at little things at the time. And God's in control. If we seek Him in all aspects of our life. One of our prayers is, Father, cover our marriage in the blood. Father, cover our finances in the blood of Jesus. Father, cover our health in the blood of Jesus. Father, cover your family in the blood of Jesus. Father, cover your house. Protect it through the blood of Jesus. We're neighbours, Father, through the blood of Jesus. A power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. So we've got to pursue it. That's our choice. His choice was the cross. Our choice is to pursue the Son of God. Through the Holy Spirit. Pursue righteousness and godliness. I'm far from there, because I still see doubt in my life. But it's letting God, Son, be godly in my life, that He's Lord. Not for I am. I'm weak. I haven't even touched on the treasures within us. Love endurance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. We've got to stand up and take a hold of the word over this person who's got an illness. Take a word over this person who's lost their job. Take a word over this marriage scenario. Take the word over whatever scenario and say, by your word, Lord, we're not going to give in until there's a breakthrough. The chains are broken and you come in and transform things to remove the obstacles so that person gets the peace of God in their life. And live a happy life with the future of the glory of God. And we have to change. It's like, I can't, man, I said this years ago, 30 years ago. I feel, oh, yeah, 20 years, 30 years, can't hire. I'm glad you stopped at 30. I was getting, phew, I'm losing my head, man. But I shared a story here one of the times I came here. And it was Barry's fault for getting me here in the first place. I spoke about 2 caterpillars walking down the road. And the other caterpillar says, hey, check it out, like, it wasn't hippies. This caterpillar had transformed into a butterfly. And the caterpillar's like, oh, I'm scared to get there. Wow. And the Christian caterpillar says, hey, that's where you're meant to be. You're not meant to be living in the world. You're meant to be living in Christ. That's how we pursue Christ, so that our hearts flutter into that place. Even though we are in the world, we live in Christ. And Christ lives in us. And that's the value of the Holy Spirit. Goodness, gentleness, godliness. We've all got to come through all that. How many times do we go through things? I can't answer the question. But it's to develop us. It's to teach us. It's to train us. to rely on him. So when the hard times come in, instead of shooting, we should be going down on our knees and saying, Father, forgive us. Father, please come into this scenario. Please pray for my daughter. She's gone through this. She's really struggling. Lord, can you come to that place? Well, it's God's will, not your will. We've got to come to that place. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold. Take a hold. Now listen to this. Take a hold of the eternal life. We have to grasp that life. We have to take a hold of Jesus. Our lives are dead. We're supposed to be a new creation. The old is supposed to have died. But we are meant to be a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or I'm reading my Bible wrong. I don't live for me anymore. How do I get to that place to be more like Christ? Is sacrificing the worldly things that I've lived for and dealt with. Sacrificing them and saying, Lord, that's worldly. I need more of your gifts. I need more of your patience. I need this. I need that. And guess what? God builds us to that beautiful place when we get our house in order. The heart's got to be in order. Jesus has got to be Lord of the heart. He's good. At Worlds last night, I got out of my bed and I'm standing there in the pitch black and the lights are all shining around me. And I couldn't have seen then. But I knew by faith it was real. And that's what we got to get a hold of, is a living faith. Grasp the faith. Because it's by faith we live, not by sight. The world is, but we look into, oh, that looks good. I mean, sure, I'll tell you. I'll get into the fridge. We're on a diet. I can't, but I want to eat something good. And she says, I'm on a diet. I'm going to point her out. This woman here, can we see this? Mark's my homemade toffee. You're on a diet. I've got a thing of homemade toffee. You ever had homemade toffee? You? You take a test of Harman's. You go back from there. And you get another test. 2 o'clock this morning, I had a couple of bits of toffee. Looking up at the sky. Lord, get rid of the sugar. My diabetes isn't good. I'm looking at you. We've got to focus. And whatever gets your attention gets a hold of you. If you're focused on this or focused on that and it's not biblical, guess where you're going? Off the road. You're away doing a bypass. You're on a roundabout. Until you come to that place, Lord, forgive me. I need to change. How long have I got? When you get into the Word gets into you. It's amazing that you pull out the Word. Fight and take a hold of eternal life. Wow, we have to take a hold of Jesus. We have to find him where we need him. Eternal life to which you were called. Not only did he give us a ministry. Not only did he call us into a calling in life. But we're called to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're meant to be in that beautiful place. Like we kind of say, see that toffee I had last night? She marks off a good toffee. Would you like another bit? We should be like that with the gospel. See what I go with the word this morning? Wow, I want to share that with you. Wow, it's amazing. Do you know what the word says to me this morning? When I looked up at the sky, even though I couldn't see it, can I read it to you? For my heart was this morning. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. I couldn't see the planets, but I knew they were there, and I knew that the heavens were being declared by the glory of God. We have to take a hold of the word and see the fullness of what's gone on in our society, what's gone on in our planet. The glory of God is demonstrating. We didn't need to be told the goodness. We should be seeing it in the nature of what God has given round about us to live that beautiful life. And you know, one of the things, I was speaking to a young person, and I was sharing, near the heart, but I was sharing the word of God. And my heart place of mind's going blankety blank. I was sharing it, and I said, you know, when we pass away, when our time's up, it doesn't stop. If you look at Stephen in Acts chapter 7, they've got to stone him. Paul has got the clothes, the jackets and that, and he's hiding them. And they're picking up stones to stone Stephen. And in amongst storing Stephen, Stephen looks up. He just looked up and he froze. Here was Jesus at the right-hand side of the Father. And he smiled. And he said, my humanness doesn't matter anymore. That's where I belong. And when he gains to heaven, the living word that's already seated up there is Christ. It gains on and on. We didn't ken it all. We haven't got to live a boring eternity hearing this and seeing that. We've got to live eternity knowing there's something new and fresh every day. Because you see it when you read the word, you can read the same verse every day. Something beautiful is going to come out for you because you're made with the beauty of God in you. You've got the creation of God in your life. And God wants to connect with that, to give you the best for your life. Amen. And I've lost my page. Did I hear amen there? I just got to finish off. Galatians. And then he says, but we have this treasures in jars of clay to show that all this surpassing power is from God and not from us. These changes is for God, not for us. I can stand here and speak to you. Grant can stand here and speak to you. We only touch here. Only God can touch here. It's up to us to receive. And what we get on a Sunday is good. But every day, we're doing our Bible study. Every day, we're feeding ourselves. We'll sit down. What did you get out of your side? I got this. Then you copy me. But I got this, da. I said, well, I got this. We spoon feed each other. We encourage each other through the Bible study. It's so important to get your heart into the Word. Why? Because then the Word gets into you and changes your life. And this little flicker comes on. Look. The value. I love you. Hello. Push your veil back a bit. I love you. I gave my one and only begotten Son to take your place. To take my punishment. So that you could be free through his substitute of paying the price just for you. Because that's how valuable you are. And I want to open your ears today. And I've got hard hearing. I want to open your ears so that you can hear the truth. Hello, I love you. I put all that planets up here to show creation. And my hands in this. I'm knocking here. Can you hear me? Could you let me in? Would you let me in? I want to give you some treasure. Me and Cheryl was in Ireland 3 years ago. Ireland. And we went into these caves. And it was all these crystal stones, all different colours. There was a great big chest to it. I wanted to grab it and take it home because I love cutting stones and all that. And I was looking at it and I'm thinking, 40 quid, 30 quid. Look at the size of that. That's about 200 quid. I seen the value that these stones were. And they're hidden in a cave with a case, like a chest, like pirates. But I knew because I play with stones and shine stones in the past, I knew the value there then. And even if we are lying in that place and we didn't see the value, God sees it. God sees your value. And he wants to take every stone out and clean it and polish it and change it and bring it into lightness. And see your engagement ring. If I go engaged, pop your hand, don't be shy. See your engagement ring. See if when it hits a light, the sparkle comes off it. You're like, wow, that's my woman. Look at the sparkle in there. It transforms and changes. And you see the value you've got. And when you see the value you've got, guess what? Nothing hinders you for sharing with your neighbours the goodness and grace that God has got for you. And you can still go. You can out the door. You walk out the door. You go down the street. And you'll still be sharing the greatness of God. Because the world does not return empty. And when you share the word with somebody, you're sharing a living hope that can benefit that person's life. And you don't know what they're going through. But when you say the word, that person takes that word and thinks, I never thought of that. I never seen that. They're not judging me. They love me. They care for me. They're showing me there's more to where I am. Isn't it beautiful what God can do in our lives? Isn't it amazing what Jesus can do? I had something else, I've lost it. Aye, it's amazing what God does for us. And we don't deserve it. But the Father, through his grace, gave it. Has made payment. It's coming to that place and saying, Father, forgive me. It's coming to the place of knowing the heart and saying, Lord, please fill me with that value, that beauty that only comes with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something?